Students preparing for their profession often seek out counsel from seasoned veterans in their field of study. It's a treasured opportunity to come alongside someone with decades of experience. Well, today on Insight for Living, we have the privilege of listening to Chuck Swindoll present time-tested wisdom to future pastors attending Dallas Theological Seminary. Given the occasion to speak, Chuck selected 1 Peter 3 as his primary text. This is message number 4 in the 6-part series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students. And Chuck titled his message, The Value of Knowing the Scoop.
You know, when you're a graduate of the seminary, you often feel a sense of gratitude and a pardonable significance that goes with that. You're grateful that God saw you through and the faculty was gracious enough to pass you, and you learned a number of things that were helpful. And then you get out in the general public and you start receiving responses. And that has a way of putting things in perspective. Like last week, a lady sent me something she was very proud of, and that was that her dog never misses my broadcast. And she showed me a picture behind the scenes of her dog with ears perked up, looking at a televised presentation of me. And amazing. But then yesterday was something else. This is really incredible. Kyle got a hold of us and thanked us for our ministry at Insight for Living. Kyle lives in the Tennessee area, and he wanted me to know that every morning he and Early, quote unquote, listen to the broadcast, have their headsets on, and they faithfully are there. And he sent a picture. Kyle is a veterinarian, and Early is his horse. And both of them have on headsets, and they are listening to Insight for Living. So when you're trained here, even horses act like they're interested. That, It reminds me of Clyde Cook's comment. Clyde's gone now, but when he was leading Biola, he and Annabelle took a little holiday, 2 or 3 days, and they went down to San Diego, and they were there for a delightful little getaway. And he said, while we were there on the boardwalk, walking along, we had just been to SeaWorld, and you know, all the stuff that goes on. And coming toward us were a dozen ducks. And they were all on roller skates. And they were coming toward them. No, there was no escort. There was no human guiding them. They just 12 ducks just coming toward them. And Clyde said, you know, the closer they got to us, the more I realize they could do that, but they don't have their hearts in it. That's the way this horse is right now. He can do it, but he's not really, doesn't have his heart in what's being said. Nor do many who hear us. But then there are those who do. Like a lady I will not name, who writes and says, I lost my husband 31 years to ALS in 2012. ALS is the disease that finally takes everything but your eyelids. And so she saw him to the end, and then she said, since then I've been trying to help encourage my son through his recovery from heroin addiction for the past 12 years. And this past year, I was able to help my youngest daughter break free from her abusive husband. She's now in counseling along with her 3 children. One paragraph of only a few words covering a world that I can only imagine. And she talks about, when I listen, I just kind of hang on every word. And that is a humbling thought. The last paragraph made me sad. I've tried to attend 3 different churches in the past 3 years, in the past 6 years, and have been terribly hurt by the leadership and fellow Christian church members. There seems to be zero tolerance for anyone dealing with a socially unacceptable family. I grew up in a family with alcoholism and mental illness. We were barely tolerated in our community church. Thank you for not being afraid to address the unacceptable issues of life in a gracious way and for having the courage to be real. She listens. And it's people like that for whom you are in training. Now I'm focusing on you who are students. I've just come out of 2 weeks of a staph infection, and I haven't had one of those in years. They're terrible. First you think you're gonna die, then you're afraid you won't. It is so bad. Interesting thing happened. My whole scalp, where it got started, turned red, and apparently the germ broke into my system from up there, and I got red all down my forehead, and my eyelid began to close. Have a doctor friend who still makes house calls. He was in our home last Friday evening, I think it was, and he looked at me and he said, come here. That's a staph infection. And he said, you're gonna lose that eye if we don't treat this right now. Which puts a chill down your back when you hear this. And today, I'm on the downside of it. And interesting, the skin is responding like sunburned skin. After you've had a bad sunburn and it's gotten, you know, really tender and red and all, later it begins to die away and it starts to flake. And like bad dandruff. Anyway, I realize in all of that, and it's a good realization, that I really dodged a bullet, and life is so fragile. Eyesight is so fragile. The function of the brain is so fragile that the grace of God just is applied all the time to our lives. Don't ever forget that. I don't care how bright you are. I don't care what your GPA is. I don't care what your dreams are. Just remember, you are mortal. And the slightest thing can level you. And it'll remind you that we are but dust. All of us. Sarah Teasdale, the poet, has put it beautifully. When I've ceased to break my wings against the faultiness of things and learn that compromises wait behind each hardly open gate, when I can look life in the eyes, grown calm and very coldly wise, life will have given me the truth and taken in exchange my youth. It's a great trade-off, getting truth and giving up youth. I'll take that anytime. I wouldn't be any other age if I had a choice. Because with this age comes certain things I never knew when I was younger and could not have known. Would not have known from losing 2 children in miscarriages, from rearing 4 children and going through all that that includes, just like you when you're rearing your children. And the same things that happen to you happen to Swindoll family as well. And you go through all of this, and you realize ministry goes on. You still are in touch with people. You still are pouring into the scriptures. You're still loving God's word, and then you get hit blindsight unexpectedly, and you realize, oh God, just hold me together. Just use me any way you choose. So I'm here today by the grace of God, so grateful. Thank you for listening when I speak. I always am so grateful for that. And thank you for studying here. You could study anywhere. And let me say before the fact, thank you for finishing. Finish what you've started. One of the themes of my life is that you finish what you start. I'm so glad that my physician finished medical school. Seriously. I'm so glad that my dentist, who did a root canal, finished his work at school. Not one of us would have our lifelong mate in life under the knife of a physician or a surgeon who didn't finish medical school. Not one of us, unless it was absolutely essential. So finish. Give it the very best you have. Some of you are not A students. It's okay. They'll never ask you what your GPA is. They won't. And even elders that are looking for pastors will care very little about your academic ability. They'll care about your heart. They'll care about your attitude. They'll care about your thoughtfulness and the way you treat your partner in life, your spouse, and your children. They'll care about your responses to life's contingencies. They'll care about your character. Now, they want you to do your homework, and you should. That's why you come to school here. Here you learn what good homework is all about. And you pick up habits, and hopefully you'll carry them with you and all the discipline that goes with you from here on out. All this semester, when I get to speak from time to time, I want to talk to you about the way your training here equips you for what is going to go on later. You'll never regret your training at this school, ever. You'll look back and you'll think, I'm so glad my prof drove that home. I'm so glad that I had one of those classes that didn't just skim the surface, and we dug in deeply. And I'm so glad I stayed at it. Because here the testing begins, really, in life. You'll experience the unexpected things that accompany ministry starting here, right here. And there may be sickness, and there will be financial strain. There will be times of doubt. There will be domestic disharmony. There will be feelings of loneliness and brokenness, and even sense of displacement at times. It's all part of your training. And it's hard on purpose. Those bright minds that shape the curriculum and put the plan together for an education at Dallas Seminary knew what they were doing. And they planned it carefully. And as a result, you and I have the joy of stepping into it and moving through our 3, 4, 5 or more years here to get our training, and then we're on our way. You'll never regret it. Now, my Bible is open to 1 Peter. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to talk with you out of 1 Peter 3 today, which is a section that begins and then builds toward a climax. If you love music, it's called a crescendo. It looks like a long arrowhead that gets larger as it moves toward a greater volume. And that seems to be the feeling that starts around verse 8 of this third chapter. To sum up, when you read that, it obviously means he's bringing his thoughts together. All of you. So that's every one of us. All of you, look at the list. Be harmonious, sympathetic. When you get to a list, don't hurry through the list. Ponder it. And ask, am I? Does that mark my life? Am I given to harmony? Because in any staff, harmony is invaluable. I missed an elders meeting yesterday, so the guys that represented me sent me an email, and they talked about the elders meeting, and one of the first things each of them said was, a spirit of harmony was magnificent among us. Hot dog. That was so good to hear. It doesn't take my presence, but it's been cultivated. A spirit of harmony was obvious among us. So, to sum up, be harmonious. Be sympathetic. Each word is just pregnant with meaning. Sympathetic. In fact, be brotherly and kind-hearted. This is especially true if you are well-equipped theologically, if you're brainy, if you know more than most in the group. And when you get out of here, in most groups, you will. Don't say that out of pride. It's just the fact you've been exposed to more truth than most will be in a lifetime. But you'll still need to be kind. Don't ever forget that. Your kindness will speak volumes to those you're with. Brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. And then he gets to relationships even deeper. Not returning evil for evil. So easy to do that in ministry. So easy to use the pulpit as a hammer. In ministry, you're going to have to take it. And a guy called me and he said, I want to tell you my situation. And he described it, and it was terrible. And he said, what should I do? And I said, yeah, I don't know enough about it. I don't even know the name of your church. And I said, describe to me what's going on. He said, well, there's an older man in our church, about 80, and he's run off two other pastors, and he told several of his friends, I'm going to be the third one. So I said, shoot him. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said to him, have you confronted him? And he said, actually, he's so much older than I, and he's got a team of people around him. They always do. He said, I've not done that. I said, well, I can continue. He's a Diotrephes. The man knows his Bible, knew exactly what I was referring to. I said, he's a Alexander the Coppersmith. He's another one of those. And your church will not move ahead as long as the man is in the midst, stirring the pot. He said, well, what should I do? I said, well, you got to have your elders with you. And you got to have, is he an elder? He said, well, not right now. He has been, but he's off right now. And I said, well, that's good. So you could talk with the elders about it. He said, but they're kind of mealy mouth and they don't want to confront. And I said, well, do they want a great church? Well, yeah, I think they do. Well, you need to help them know that the secret of a great church is dealing with individuals that are keeping it from being great. But you've got to handle it wisely and well. We talked at length about it. So he decided, I didn't decide for him, he decided, and he would have a meeting with the elders. They would talk about a plan, and they would confront this individual, and they would do it, not just the pastor, but to do it with several. And I said, to borrow from Luther's words, he's a boar in God's vineyard. He said, well, I want to write that down. I said, well, you know, it's not biblical, but you can write it down. And he said, well, that's exactly what it's like. He's a boar in God's vineyard. I said, okay, then you got to deal with a boar in the vineyard. You can't run from it. And you know what's interesting? I never had one moment at Dallas Seminary on dealing with boars in God's vineyard. Not one session on it. It's a great school. It just, back when I got schooling here, we didn't address those things. And we have dealt very little bit with criticism, though it's a constant diet of everyone in ministry. And some of it is deserved. And knowing how to handle it when it's deserved is one thing. Knowing how to handle it when it's not deserved is something else. It takes wisdom to decipher. And it takes a really good spouse to help you work through all of that. Anyway, my friend listened, and Steve said to me, I'm going to call you and let you know what happened. I said, great. I'm going to be praying. We prayed on the phone briefly, and then I got an email from him, and he said, bingo. We had our meeting, and the man said, well, if that's the way all of you feel, I'll just leave. And I thought, praise God. That is so great. I said, that's an answer. Because often they'll stay and just dig in, make it worse. And he said, I want you to know it feels like a weight is lifted off my shoulders. He said, can I just ask one thing? How'd you know to tell me what to do? I said, because I've had to deal with it. And I've dealt with it wrongly. And I've also dealt with it correctly. So I've learned the hard way what works and what doesn't work. So I kind of shared with you from the overflow. But I thought back. I gained a lot of the confidence I needed, which I wasn't born with, from Dallas Seminary training. Because when you learn the truths of the scriptures, it does something to your inner constitution. It gives you internal emotional guts. So you're not afraid to trust God and to walk through these kind of situations. Hopefully you'll do it wisely, but to walk through them with confidence. And that's what Steve did. He sensed then another one, and he said, I can't tell you the difference. As a matter of fact, he said, I preached a sermon. I thought, oh boy, I didn't mention preaching a sermon to everybody about this, but he said, I just felt peace about this. So I just preached it. I said, was the old guy there? And he said, he was. And he got up and left, but he was there. And I said, so what was the congregation's response? And he said, they surrounded me and prayed with me and said, we want a church and we're tired of what we've been dealing with all these years. Isn't that great? One of the things I got off on that because I all the way through was encouraging not to return evil for evil. Because the great tendency is to be ugly in return. But you just disarm them with kindness and biblical truth.
Speaking to the students and faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, you're listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll called The Value of Knowing the Scoop. You'll be glad to hear that Chuck has fully recovered from the surprising staph infection he mentioned earlier. All is well. And to clarify, this is the fourth message in a brand new six-part series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students. We're praying Chuck's teaching will inspire a new generation of pastors and church leaders. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Remember, if you missed any portion, you can easily catch up by listening to the audio on our website. You can also send the link to an aspiring pastor as well by going to insight.org/connect. Then bear in mind that when you give to Insight for Living, you're not only supporting Chuck's teaching on your radio station, you're also helping us reach pastors and future church leaders. To that end, the best way to support Insight for Living is to become one of our monthly companions. In this relationship, you're having a profound impact on those who aren't in a position to give as you are. You might recall the first season when you started listening to Chuck's teaching. Perhaps it was during the childbearing years, or just as your career was getting started. Well, those daily visits with Chuck were likely sponsored by a monthly companion who supported the ministry on your behalf. Well, maybe it's time for you to reciprocate and begin investing in a way that wasn't possible many years ago. To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. That's insight.org. As an added incentive, when you sign up as a first-time monthly companion, we'd like to send you Chuck's brand new book, just released. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? That number again, if you're listening in the United States, is 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you back tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll delivers another powerful message to those who serve the local church here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Value of Knowing the Scoop, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.